You are back listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR, and we are happy to have Brenna Dempsey join us on the show this morning. Brenna is a member of the Monash University branch of the National Tertiary Education Union. Welcome to the show, Brenna.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
And we've also got Jacob on the line too. Brenna, would you be able to just start off by telling us a bit about the ongoing protests by many branches of the Victorian division of the NTU and the strikes happening next week? Just, you know, about some of the union's demands and, well, how long have workers actually been striking and, you know, calling for demands to be met?
So it's a bit of a mix across Victoria. So some of the unions have been bargaining for about a year, like Monash has. Others have been negotiating for less time. But the demands are pretty sort of similar across all of the universities, and they centre around three pillars of fair pay, safe workloads and secure jobs. And this is really an issue because of the structural and systematic feature of the universities, which is obviously a symptom of the fact that they've been corporatised and made into businesses rather than being education-focused. So we're seeking pay rises that keep up with inflation or at least close to inflation, secure working contracts, conversion for casuals, safe working conditions, including being paid for all the hours that people are worked for and not expecting people to work 70-hour weeks, whether they're paid for them or not. And I think that a big part of this as well is secure jobs and, you know, reducing the amount of wage theft as well. There was nationwide about $100 million in wage theft recently, and that goes hand in hand with casualisation. So I think that's one of the main things that we're fighting for at the moment.
What can you tell us about the current kind of conditions? Like, for example, the impact that staff working conditions have on student learning experiences. And of course, what is kind of like the real kind of impact that these difficult conditions have been having on workers that work at the university? Because I've been hearing of attending some of the University of Melbourne kind of strike actions. There has been a lot, a very recurring theme has been this whole issue of working conditions.
Yeah, I think it's really clear that staff working conditions have an impact on student learning experiences. One of the things that we've heard a lot about from members is that when they're on a 12-week contract, which is obviously just for a semester, if you've got assignments in that unit that are due in, you know, the exam period, or they have students have an exam in that unit, the teaching staff on 12-week contracts are cut off at the end of the semester. So you can't contact your teachers if you've got questions about the exam or the assignment if it falls after that period. So I think that's one really big thing that students have noticed, is that they can't get in touch with their staff if it's outside of the semester, if they're on those casual contracts. And then I think that another thing that we've seen, there was a ranking release, I can't remember which one it was, but there was one released recently that had Monash ranked lower on student experience. And, you know, I think that just shows that it's a direct result of the teaching conditions and the way that staff are being treated. We've got class sizes increasing with, in some cases, one academic for more than 30 students in the class. So you're just not getting that sort of one-on-one experience. Not even one-on-one, you're not getting any sort of teaching experience really when there's that many people in the class. There's like limited paid time for teachers to mark assignments, so there's no chance that you're going to get decent feedback on your assignment. You just get, yeah, good job, you know. So that's not beneficial to students to be able to know what mistakes they've made, to learn from their mistakes. There's no sort of growth in that. And I think also teachers are just so overwhelmed that they can't sort of be dedicated to their work in the way that they'd like to be. obviously that's focusing predominantly on the academic side of it, but there's an impact on the professional staff as well, that they have so many admin tasks to do to keep the units running that they can't answer student emails, they can't deal with student crises in the way that they should be and would like to be, because they just don't have any time. There's so much work to do. And then I think on top of that, if you're in insecure work, it's really hard to feel proud of your job and to feel like you want to be working there. And I think that has an impact as well. Obviously, our staff want to be doing the best that they can, but when they're completely burnt out and worried about paying the rent next week, then that's going to be really difficult for them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people are always going to do their best work when they feel safe and secure and happy in their jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Brannick, would you be able to touch on, you know, or talk a bit about the hypocrisy of management, especially during a cost of living crisis? Because, you know, they have funds, they have a lot of funds to give to the outgoing vice chancellor. And it's an above inflation pay rise, but they are offering teaching staff a pay cut.
Yeah, so it's really interesting that you mention that, actually. So our recently departed vice chancellor, who's now taken a significant pay cut to be the governor of Victoria, was on a $1.4 million salary every year. So it's just, I mean, that's just an astonishing number, really, you know, paid more, I think, than the Prime Minister and the Premier of Victoria combined. So I just think that's astonishing and crazy that someone can be paid that much. But the other thing that's interesting about that is that Monash at the moment has been claiming that they've got a $113 million deficit. But the way that they've sort of managed to make that happen is by donating $116 million to their internal trust fund. And it's pretty unclear where exactly that money goes and what it's used for in the trust fund. Probably, you know, buying more paintings and buildings and things like that. But it's a way for them to be saying that they haven't got any money and, you know, the university needs to tighten its belt and so do all staff. When actually it's just like an accounting trick to move a bit of money around. I think it's a slap in the face to workers because, you know, our members are the people on the lowest incomes and the most insecure positions at the uni, and they're the ones who are actually face-to-face with the students, the people that we should be caring about, who are supporting the university, who make the university run. And they're bearing the brunt of the workload, but they're not being paid or recognised for that.
And NTU branches around the country have secured new agreements with decent pay rises and other entitlements. And I guess what has been kind of the mood among union members right now? And I guess probably when we interviewed actually an NTU Melbourne Uni member about the strike a number of weeks ago, one of the kind of lessons that he expressed was every time that the NTU has kind of organised an action or a protest, they've actually kind of built support for the union and have actually drawn new members in. And I guess, yeah, I want to kind of hear about your sort of political experience with some of that.
Yeah, it's definitely been encouraging. I mean, we've been in bargaining for 12 months now, and our agreement expired in June of 2022. So it feels like it's been a very long process. And we get a little bit jealous, actually, when some of the other universities secure good deals quicker than we've managed to. But, yeah, it is invigorating to see that. I feel also I should point out, though, that although they've gotten decent pay rises, they're still not actually above inflation. So they're better than what we're being offered, but they're not really brilliant. But they definitely have gotten some other entitlements and leave and things like that that are really fantastic. And obviously it's great to have it, you know, the process actually finished, unlike ours, which is dragging on for quite a while. I think also, like especially with Melbourne, we've been keeping a close eye on their actions and supporting them as well. And it was really fantastic to see Melbourne go on strike for a whole week. At Monash, we'd love to do that. Melbourne just have better density and better higher membership than we do. But that's something that we'll build to if we need to, if this drags on longer. But yeah, we have seen a growth in membership. Every time we have a strike action or we're out on campus doing something, we definitely see a slow uptake in members joining. I think that it's been really important, especially for our upcoming action, that we remind people that they can't join if they're not a member. You can't take protected industrial action if you're not a member of the union. So you might see that we're about to go on strike and get really excited about that, but you actually have to join the union to be able to participate. So it is a good way to get members in by taking action and by being seen. It does really help us. I think one of the other things that's been really important for our members is that one of the forms of protected industrial action that we can take is to make statements. And it sort of sounds a bit vague and not very impactful, but it's been really effective with our academic staff because they're sitting in class with their students and they are allowed to just explain to them what's happening and why we're taking action and why their tutorial is cancelled next week and why they're not replying to emails on this day. And the students are really on board with that. They're really supportive of that. And, you know, staff have been trying to find ways to not cancel classes, and the students are like, no, if you have to cancel the class, you cancel the class. You've got a better pay and conditions, and this is the way that you need to do it. We've seen a lot of solidarity in that from other unions, from student groups. They're always out with us on campus when we go on strike, which is great to see. I think they understand that the conditions that their staff are working in directly impact their learning. They see that. So, you know, they want to support us and they want to see change, which is great.
Yeah, definitely. It all sounds really inspiring, Brenna, and it's been great having you on the show. But before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share? Maybe, you know, also let us know the best way we can show solidarity with you and the other workers.
Yeah, awesome. So we have a strike fund going for our strike next week. So if people can donate to that, that would be fantastic. There's a link to it on our website and also in the bio of our Instagram. We'd love people to follow our Instagram as well. It's new, so it looks a bit sad with so few followers, but it's growing slowly all the time. And we'll be posting, you know, content from the strike on that and also details of where exactly we're striking because we're on strike from midday on Monday to 11:59 on Wednesday of this coming week. And we're going to be at Caulfield and Clayton on those days. So Clayton often feels like a bit of a hard slog for people to get to. But, yeah, we will have actions at Caulfield as well, which is slightly nicer to get to. So if people can follow us on Instagram and come along to some of those strike actions, that would be great.
Great. And just chuck us the fundraising link if you can, Brennan. We'll upload it when we upload the podcast so people can find it easily.
Awesome, will do.
And thank you so much for your time, Brenna, and solidarity to you and all the workers fighting for better working conditions.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks.